Welcome to the audio podcast of North River Church. You can find out more about North River and ways you can be involved at our website, gonorthriver.org.
Church, I want to invite you to take your Bibles with me this morning. Join me once again in the book of Ecclesiastes. We have been walking our way over the last number of weeks through this book in a message series entitled The Meaning of Life. And this week, we're going to look at a message entitled People Watching. Anybody besides me like to watch people? You go into a store and you just like to see what somebody is going to do. I love to be behind someone in line because people say crazy things. Do you know that? I mean, you look and they ask for things that you know they're not going to get, or maybe they show up at the 10 items or less checkout line with 38 items. Anybody guilty of that? We don't judge around here. But it's funny just to watch people, to see how people interact, to see what people are doing, to see how they talk to other people, or maybe they argue, to see how spouses interact with one another, or maybe kids interact with their parents or parents with their kids. I mean, most of you, if you're like me, you can look at your child and they know what you're thinking in the moment. And it's fun to be out in public and to see a family walk by and a kid misbehave and to see the eye contact that goes on and the snap of the finger or something like that. Just to watch people is fascinating to see. One of the things that we've seen Solomon do as we've walked through this book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon was the king of Israel, is the wisest man that ever lived, probably the wealthiest man that had ever lived. And Solomon had looked and walked with the Lord for a number of years. And yet what we see is Solomon in this moment looking back on his life. And for Solomon, there are some regrets. There's a period of Solomon's life where he had walked away from the Lord and had begun to try to chase the meaning of life in any number of things that the world could offer. Wealth and prosperity, power, position. Solomon had looked and said, maybe I can find the meaning of life in these things. And every single time, as we've seen over the last number of weeks, he's come up empty. And he looks and he says, it was pointless. It was pointless to chase after these things because apart from a relationship with the Lord, none of these things can satisfy the deepest longings of my heart. What we see in Solomon, as we're going to cover chapter 4, verses 4 through 16, is Solomon in his journey looking at people around him. Solomon was a wise man. Solomon was astute. He was noticing the way people interacted with one another. He was noticing the type of people that he would see. And Solomon, in looking at these people and thinking about relationships and how people interact with one another, and there's crazy people out there, and how do we deal with them? And should we just say, you know, we just don't like people, and so we're not going to interact with them at all? How do we interact in relationship? And what we're going to see Solomon do over the next number of verses together is describe for us three different types of people. He's going to give us three different types of people, and then he's going to talk about relationships. And I can think that Solomon in his mind is looking at these types of people and looking at relationships and talking about for him, looking back on his life, the regrets that he had. So let's read the text this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, beginning in verse 4, Solomon writes, "Then I saw that all toil and all skill in work come from a man's envy of his neighbor. This also is vanity and a striving after the wind. The fool folds his hands and eats his own flesh. Better is a handful of quietness than two handfuls of toil and a striving after the wind. Again, I saw vanity under the sun, one person who has no other, either son or brother. Yet there is no end to all his toil, and his eyes are never satisfied with riches, so that he never asks, 'For whom am I toiling and depriving myself of pleasure?' This also is vanity and an unhappy business. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Better was a poor and wise youth than an old and foolish king who no longer knew how to take advice. For he went from prison to the throne, though in his own kingdom he had been poor. I saw all the living who move about under the sun, along with that youth who is to stand in the king's place. There was no end of all the people, all of whom he led. Yet those who come later will not rejoice in him. Surely this also is vanity and a striving after the wind. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would open our eyes that we would be able to see, that you would open our ears that we would be able to hear. Father, this morning you would open our hearts and our minds that we would be ready to respond to your word and to your spirit. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Wow, that was amazing. Train them up young. That's good. I want you to notice with me the three types of people that Solomon describes in verses 4, 5, and 6. Three types of people, and I think for us as we think about Solomon, his wisdom, his experience, the fact that he was ruling over a kingdom that was great at the point of time in which he is ruling, and Solomon is looking and interacting with people. Solomon's done a bit of people watching. And Solomon gives for us three different types of people. I want you to notice how he describes them. Verse 4, if you're taking notes this morning, here's the first type that Solomon describes. Verse 4, he describes an evil person. I want you to notice how he describes him. He says, I saw that all toil and all skill in work come from a man's envy of his neighbor. Now, I don't know about you, but that's not a good thing, I don't think, right? Solomon's describing here someone who is working diligently, who is going after it as hard as he can for the primary purpose of wanting to be better than or have more than his neighbor. In fact, if we look back, this is evil in God's sight to envy our neighbor, to look and to say, I want to be better than them. I want more than them. I want to overshadow them. I want to overtake them. Solomon describes this person as someone who, it doesn't matter what they have to do, they're going to claw their way to the top regardless of who's involved. Now, for us, we can sit back and we can think through history of evil people. I mean, you look and you realize if you say a certain name, you know that that's an evil person. Adolf Hitler, can we all agree on that? Osama bin Laden, can we all agree? Evil people. And yet Solomon describes here evil people as those who have envy of their neighbor, those who are looking and working in such a way that all they want to do is outdo the next person. All they want to do is achieve something, have notoriety, be above and beyond anyone else, and it's because of envy of what someone else has or what position they may hold. You look back through history, you realize and you see this play out and unfold. You realize that there are evil people in the world. Now, let's just be honest, we aren't like that, are we? Let's hope so, or we need to watch our backs around here. But yet we realize and we understand that the scripture says that for all of us are born sinners. All of us are born separated from God. And apart from a relationship with him, all of us will spend eternity separated from him. And so if you want to look at it, we call this the original sin nature. We're born with that. You don't believe me? Just serve for a little bit in the 18 to 36 months class. You're like, not my kids. They're not evil, are they? But you look and you realize that this is a real issue that we deal with in life. We interact in a world, many of the people that we interact with have no inclination, no desire to know God or walk with Him. And if you follow that out to its logical conclusion, it looks like evil. Solomon, in looking at the people in his kingdom, looking at the people around, describes this first person and he says, this is someone whose only game, whose only end in life is to beat out somebody else. Out of envy of wanting to be who they are or wanting to have what they have. Solomon describes that as evil. Truth is, we're going to encounter evil people in life. As we walk through life, we are going to encounter evil people. We're also going to encounter, as Solomon describes in verse 5, foolish people. I want you to notice verse 5. Solomon says, the fool folds his hands and eats his own flesh. Pretty graphic for Solomon to write it in such a way that describes that. But what Solomon's saying is that there are fools who want to achieve certain things, to have certain things, but think they can do that without having to work for it, without having to earn it. So Solomon's describing the evil person in verse 4, but then he's describing the fool in verse 5. Let's just be honest with one another. There's a lot of foolish people in the world. Amen? Ouch. A lot of foolish people in the world. There are evil people in the world. And then Solomon in verse 6 describes a wise person. It's interesting in the way he does it. He says, better is a handful of quietness than two hands full of toil and a striving after the wind. If you remember, as Solomon's been walking his way through the buffet of life, of looking at trying to find meaning in all number of things, Solomon has come to the end and realizing that I can chase after all of these things, but none of them will ever satisfy the deepest longing of my heart. None of them will ever fulfill me the way that I want to be fulfilled. Jesus is the only one that can do that in our lives. And so Solomon's looking and he's saying, you know, there's evil people in the world, there's foolish people in the world, and then there's wise people in the world. The people who realize that they, in a relationship with Jesus Christ, a relationship with their Creator, can understand what the meaning of life is all about. It's interesting the way he describes it, a handful of quietness. You notice we don't like quiet a whole lot. You're like, okay, Michael, that's a little awkward. You're supposed to be talking and we listen and you don't stop. You're supposed to keep going until you're done, right? You just quiet. For Solomon, he says here, a handful of quietness is better than two hands full of toil and a striving after the wind. A little bit of soul rest, a little bit of being able to pause in life, to step away from the work, to step away from the toil, to step away from charging hard after our dreams and our goals, to just pause for a moment. And for us as believers, if you've trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to be able to rest in what Christ has accomplished for you. Solomon here describes the person that's able to do that as a wise person. So Solomon gives us three types of people: evil people, foolish people, wise people. But it's interesting because he continues on and he talks about relationships. And I don't think it's by accident that Solomon does that. I don't think that he's looking and These two things are divorced from one another. In fact, as we look at the text, as we realize what Solomon's doing, Solomon is describing the kind of people that we will interact with in the world in which we find ourselves. And Solomon's going to describe for us, if we interact in relationships with certain types of people, we're not going to experience life as it was meant to live. Now, for us as believers, one of the things that we need to recognize, one of the things that we need to understand is God has placed us in a hostile environment, oftentimes in an environment that's opposed to God and everything that God is about. God has put us in this environment to be light unto the world. That's why we are here. That's the reason that we exist. The mission that God has given us is to make disciples of all nations. But for us, what we have to recognize and understand is that this is not a solo journey. We need one another to walk through the Christian life. There's no Lone Ranger Christians. I would make the argument that that's one of the reasons the church is so important for us. One of the reasons that small groups of believers gathered together in life groups are so important for us. We need one another. So Solomon looks and he's going to give for us four benefits of relationships. I want you to notice beginning in verses 7 and 8. So after describing these types of people, the evil person in verse 4, the foolish person in verse 5, the wise person in verse 6, Solomon writes and says, "Again I saw vanity under the sun. One person who has no other, either son or brother, yet there is no end to all his toil, and his eyes are never satisfied with riches, so that he never asks," listen to this question, "for whom am I toiling and depriving myself of pleasure? This also is vanity and an unhappy business." What good is accumulating a lot of money if you don't have anything or anyone to share it with? One of the things that you realize in relationships is one of the benefits, you're taking notes, write this down, sharing with one another. Solomon describes this. I want you to think about this because he's listed for us a evil person who's seeking to gain all that he can just so that he can beat out his neighbor. And then he's looking at the foolish person who's not worried about anything and believes that they should just get a handout from someone else. And Solomon's looking and he says here, what good is it to spend all of your life and all of your energy and all of your effort trying to gain something? It could be anything. Try to gain money. Try to gain notoriety, try to gain position, try to gain respect. What if you spend all of your life trying to gain those things? Listen to what he says. But you never ask the question, who do I get to share this with? Maybe you're here this morning and you are chasing after those things. Chasing after power, prestige, chasing after money. You think, if I can just get my bank account to hit this number, if I could just have this possession, if I could just get this respect, and you're chasing all of those things without ever asking the question, am I enjoying life with someone else? Parents, let me say it this way to you. You spend all of your effort and all of your energy trying to climb the corporate ladder, but your kids don't know you. Is it worth it? Husbands, if you spend all your effort and all your energy trying to attain respect and prestige in your job, but you don't have it at home, is it worth it? Solomon looks and he says, in observing people, of walking through life and looking at the evil person who's just trying to beat out his neighbor, looking at the foolish person who's not doing anything at all, and looking at the wise person who's enjoying rest. He says, listen, what we have to understand and what we have to recognize, and as we get to the end of the verses this morning, Solomon's going to shine some light on why this is such an important issue for him. Being a pastor for the last 10 years, let me just share this with you. I have never, ever, ever talked with someone who is at the end of their life and had them look at me and say, I wish I would have worked a little more. Had them look at me and say, you know, I really wish my bank account was a little bit higher than it is. You know, I really wish that I would have achieved that promotion. I've never sat and had that conversation with someone who is about to die. You know what they say? I wish I'd have spent more time with my family. I wish I would have stopped working so hard and enjoyed life. I wish I would have paused for a little bit and chasing and running the rat race, and I wish I would have loved on my kids more. Solomon looks and he says, the benefit of relationships, the benefit of interacting with others is that we get to share with them. Not only possessions, not only time, we get to share life with them. One of the greatest benefits of the Christian life is that if we will gather other believers who are chasing hard after the Lord alongside of us, we will get to enjoy one another as we seek to fulfill God's mission that He's laid out for us. We'll be able to enjoy sharing with one another. Solomon continues on in verses 9 and 10. If you're taking notes, here's the second benefit of relationships. The first was sharing with one another, but the second is serving one another. Notice what he says beginning in verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Solomon, for us, gives us another glimpse of why relationships are important as we walk through life. And as you think about that, as you think about sharing with one another, now as you think about serving with one another, as you think about the people that he's previously described, who would you want to do that with? Do you want to share with the evil person? Do you want to serve with the evil person? Not without looking over your shoulder every minute. What about the foolish person? Do you want to share with them? Do you want to serve with them? Probably not. What about the wise person? You say, of course. Students, let me encourage you as you come off of camp and the excitement of what God's done in your lives over the last week. Surround yourself with fellow believers that God's working in their life too. Partner up with them. Share life with them. Serve with them. Because the truth is, as Solomon says here, we are going to fall at some point. There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt as we're walking through the Christian life that we're going to stumble, we're going to trip, we're going to fall. And if we don't have someone there to help lift us up, we're going to lose what God intends for our good. Solomon's looking here and he describes that two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. If they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But listen to this, woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. If you look and you realize in your life as a believer this morning that you are walking alone, can I urge you, on the basis of Solomon's wisdom that he lays out for us here in the text, find another believer to walk this road with. Don't walk alone. Don't try to go it alone. As interesting as we were spending time on vacation this past week, we went to Yosemite and got to see a pretty incredible sight on El Capitan, watching the rock climbers. You know what's interesting about the rock climbers? There's always two of them. There are always two working this journey up the rock. I read a little bit about that. I was fascinated with it. I thought they were dumb. Let's just be honest. But I started reading, and what would happen is each would take turns climbing a certain section of the rock while the other served as an anchor point for them. So one would stay in a fixed location, secured to the wall, so that if the one that was climbing fell, they would be there to hold on and to catch the weight of the person that was coming down, and they wouldn't fall off the side of the rock. But one was journeying out and climbing up without anything other than that one safety valve of their friend that was down below them. I started thinking of that as I was looking at the text, and I was like, that's what God intends for us. That's what God desires for us in living out the Christian life, that we have others as we are chasing hard after the Lord, as we're following Him with our lives, that we have others, that when we fall, when we reach and we don't quite make it, when we trip up, that we're saved. Not salvation speaking, but we're protected. That they're there for us, serving alongside with us. Solomon continues on in verse 11. He describes for us the third benefit of relationships. He says, again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Third truth for us, benefit in relationship, is being able to comfort one another. It's interesting that he describes it in this way. We look and we realize that we've progressed a lot, technologically speaking. We have sleeping bags for us that will allow us to sleep in sub-zero temperatures, which again is foolish in my mind, right? But we have that ability now, but they would have not had that ability then. And so when temperatures crept down, their only option was to cover up and snuggle up. And he looks and he describes it in this way. If two lie together, they keep warm. But you can't do that alone. Again, Solomon emphasizing the importance of relationship, of sharing life together, of serving with one another, but also comforting one another. I can tell you this, as a follower of Jesus, one of the greatest things that brings comfort to me is other believers that I do life alongside of. Because let's be honest, church, there's times when we need comfort. There's times in the Christian life when we need someone to wrap their arms around us, provide us a shoulder to cry on, and tell us that God is still in control. There's times when we desperately need that for ourselves, but hear me, there's times when other believers within this body need the same thing. And so if our mindset is just solo, I'm on my own in the Christian life, we'll never look up and realize that God may want us, maybe this morning, to put our arm around somebody and just say, hey, how's it going? How you doing? Offer them an encouraging word. Offer them comfort, Solomon looks and he says, oh, what a wonderful thing in relationship to be able to have someone to comfort you. Now, if you back up just a little bit, you ask the question, what kind of person do I want to comfort me? You don't want the evil person that Solomon has described, do you? It's probably going to be a knife as they put their arm around you to stab you in the back. You don't want the foolish person that's going to be there trying to comfort you because they're probably going to say something really dumb. You want the wise person, the person that's experienced the peace of Christ in their own life, who's walked through difficulties, that is able to put their arm around you and to say, we're going to get through this. We're going to walk through this together. I want you to notice the fourth benefit of relationship Solomon gives us in verse 12. And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Fourth truth is in relationships, we're able to protect one another. So we're able to share life with one another. We're able to serve one another. We're able to comfort one another, but we're also able to protect one another. You look at that and you realize how important that is as a parent. Because kids oftentimes don't see danger. Have you ever noticed that? Go to run out in the street, not thinking anything, but I got to get the ball that just went out in the street to go chase after it. You're like, no, stop. You realize we need that in our lives as believers as well. We need other believers that are looking in our lives and walking with us through life that are able to throw the red flags up and able to say, whoa, stop. Maybe to protect us from walking down a road that they've walked down. Maybe to protect us from something that we don't even see. Solomon looks and he describes for us the benefits of relationship. And I want you to notice verses 13 through 16. Because for me, this is one of those moments when the text comes alive in a way that maybe we haven't caught it yet. Notice what he writes beginning in verse 13. Better was a poor and wise youth than an old and foolish king who no longer knew how to take advice. Wonder who Solomon's describing. One of the things that Solomon does incredibly well is share his heart, is expose himself for us, especially in this verse. Because what Solomon says here is that there was a day when I was a poor and wise youth. And Solomon says, you know what? I was better off. We have to ask the question, why would Solomon say that he was better off? Because Solomon had spent so much of his life chasing after the things that he describes in the first few chapters all alone. Solomon's chasing after those things, thinking that he can find meaning and fulfillment in those, and he's left everyone else beside him. He's not worried about doing life with anyone else. And looking back on it, looking back, there's a regret. Looking back for Solomon, who at this point in time is an old man, who's recounting God's work in his life, who's looking back at lost days that he's had, Solomon looks back and he says, I was better off when I was poor and young, but I had relationships with others. I was walking life with other people than I was when I became king and had it all. It's interesting as you look at A lot of the people that we celebrate as a culture, celebrities, you begin to realize that many of them that we think have it all are some of the loneliest people in the world. I'll never forget a 60 Minutes interview with Tom Brady after he had won a number of Super Bowls. Made this comment. He said, you know, I've got everything I could ever imagine, Super Bowls. But I look at life and I think there's got to be more. Listen, he's not alone in that. There are many others who have obtained the heights that we would never even dream of obtaining, but are absolutely miserable because they're missing the main thing, a relationship with Jesus Christ. But secondarily, they're missing relationships with fellow believers that they're doing life with. Solomon looks and he says, I was better off a poor and wise youth than an old and foolish king who no longer knew how to take advice. For he went from prison to the throne, though in his own kingdom he had been born poor. I saw all the living who move about under the sun, along with that youth who was to stand in the king's place. There was no end of all the people, all of whom he led. Yet those who come later will not rejoice in him. Surely this also is vanity and a striving after the wind. I want to close this morning with a simple question. Will I live with regret like Solomon describes here? I want to ask you, if you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning as worship team comes back up to lead us in a time of invitation, as you reflect on that question, let me add a few more layers to it. Will you live with regret because you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ? We've talked about it a number of weeks in a row, that apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ, we'll never, never find ultimate meaning and satisfaction in life. We were born with a God-shaped hole in our hearts that only He can fill. Have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you taken that step? If not, today would be a great day to do that. I'd love to share with you more about that. Don't let not taking that step be a regret in your life. Maybe you're here this morning, and as we've talked about chasing after certain things and trying to live the Christian life alone, maybe you realize that that's what you're doing. Maybe you're trying to chase after things and you're doing it by yourself, not thinking about who you're going to share it with, not thinking about who you're going to serve with, not thinking about comfort and protection from other believers. Just hear my heart this morning. I don't want that to be a regret. I don't want you to get to the end of your days and look back like Solomon with regret. Father, we ask this morning that as your word's been delivered and your spirit has been at work in our lives, would you give us the courage this morning to be honest before you? You already know our hearts. You know exactly where we are. You know how we fit into this passage of Scripture. God, would you give us the courage to respond to you this morning? Father, that we would not live life with regret. that we would not live life apart from a relationship with you. Father, if there's one here this morning or more that have never taken that step, would you help them take that step today? Give them the courage to be bold and to step out, to receive the free gift of salvation that Jesus' death on the cross provides for them. Father, would you help us not have regrets of doing life alone, but that we would lock arms with fellow believers as we fulfill the mission that you've placed before us, that we would do life alongside of one another. Father, would you convict our hearts if we're trying to go solo? Or Father, maybe we're chasing after things that will never bring satisfaction. But God, help us this morning to respond to you in repentance, in obedience, as your word calls us to. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you to stand, if you will. You sing this morning. You respond to the Lord. If you need to speak with someone, I'll be at the back. Love to talk with you.